Then you to write, keep the hand moving. Whatever comes, you don't have to read it if you don't want to the others. On this extremely modern wristwatch of Bhakta Daniel, it is 5 minutes have passed. Would you like just 1 minute more to come to the close? You have exactly 50 seconds more. I'm sorry if you want to keep the exercise. Thank you extremely much for this very good time counting measurement. Is there anyone of you who would like to share what he or she has written? How do you think of Krishna? It's more of a private nature which you have? Okay. Yes or? Sometimes we are shy. Jai Govinda.
Of course, the very first way to think of Krishna is by hearing about him from a pure devotee of Krishna. Someone who has realized Krishna, like Srila Prabhupada. For instance, reading Srila Prabhupada's books corresponds to such a method. Also, Srila Prabhupada teaches that, yes, this is the most available way to think of Krishna is by way of chanting his name. Especially expresses this in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where the importance of thinking of Krishna is stressed for one who is within the body. That's because the state of mind one has in such a time determines one's future living condition. But the nearby practitioner of this method may question, what about chanting Hare Krishna and thinking of anything but Krishna? The answer is that we have to train our mind by hearing about Krishna, then chant about him. The result is in due course, is that one naturally will think of Krishna even spontaneously. This is actually the very essence of Krishna consciousness.
Wonderful. Very nice. It's amazing what comes, isn't it? When you must yourself feel, well, such a nice writing. It's really nice, yes. Very nice, very deep. Let us applaud to our Jai Govinda, this wholehearted. Thank you. Yes, the 8th chapter says, thinking of Krishna is best done by chanting. And I have a reference where Prabhupada says, chanting Hare Krishna means to keep Krishna on the throne of your heart. Just imagine this, this statement. I want to find it to you for you so that you have the exact reference. The Hare Krishna mantra chanting means keeping Krishna always within your heart. It's not expensive at all. You haven't got to make a very exalted throne for Krishna. You can imagine that in my heart I have placed now a very diamond throne and Krishna is sitting. That is accepted. Actually it becomes. The Hare Krishna mantra chanting means keeping Krishna always within your heart. It's... Anyone else? And now I feel encouraged to also read my what I wrote. In the beginning I did not feel so. I thought I would just write for me. But please let us hear some more. Who's the Grace? Where this is? It is in a lecture which Prabhupada gave in Geneva. But... I've only written it down. You can. Yeah. I also would like to have the reference. It's not in the Bhagavatam, it's in the lecture.
Yes. But I have a lecture on the
I see. Mm-hmm. Yes. Good. So, yes. So, Claire wants to read? You had a question. Okay. No, I don't want to force anyone. Ruben, this is not right. Robin, yes.
List of many verse, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, best friend, creator, controller, chastiser of demons, lover of Radharani, Dalyan, Yashoda, and Nanda. Younger daughter of Balaram,
He's great. Huh?
Salvation, freedom and joy, friend, very loving, Lord of the Gopis, friend of Arjuna, humble, beautiful, attractive, wonderful, true music, power of the great love, like stones of brilliant, like the moon, he came and got around, extremely merciful, nice, lotus eyes, bright yellow body, Trivandra Dharita, Litra of Govardhan, attracts power and senses, pleasure of inheritance of Vrindavan, soft lotus feet, he pleases Radharani, is controlled by Radharani, is sporting with covered boys, is playful, joking, is funny pastimes, all attractive, original Vishnu, source of Brahman, effulgent, he is the close of the gopis. Chastised Kaliya snake, wonderful Damodar pastime, afraid of his knowledge.
Wonderful what? Damodar pastime, yes.
And afraid of his knowledge.
You are also very Krishna conscious. Thank you. Anyone else? Ahmad, is this Nitya Kishori? Would you dare to read it or? Not? No? Anyone else? Ahmad, is today very shy. Okay, if you do not wish to read, then. When I was starting to read, to write, I was starting like this. He has a smiling face, locks of hair around his face, a makara-shaped earrings, these are like sharks, swinging to and fro, and throwing a very nice brilliance on his cheeks. He throws sidelong glances on his devotees, and then he takes his flute to his lips. And then I wrote dot, 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 dot. In my consciousness, I noticed I was quoting Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur up to that. And then I noticed, I jumped. Although he is the most charming personality, he is full of the greatest powers. Everything moves according to his wishes. Brahma creates, Shiva destroys. He's wonderful. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he showed his universal form. When Arjuna was shocked to see so much display of power and opulence, he requested him to withdraw this form. Then Krishna became first Narayan and then Krishna, showing that ultimately his form of Krishna is superior. He wishes us to come back to him, and this gives me great assurance, relief, and confirmation that it is necessary and all right to think of him. I was thinking like this, because Krishna wishes us to come back to him. Bhakta Brahm, you are meditating about Krishna? Yes. Sometimes I feel personally in a movement like ISKCON, which has gone through so many things, that our devotees have become very, very careful. They don't want any new catastrophes to happen, although sometimes they do happen. And sometimes, and everything in ISKCON has gone through much questioning. Also, the thought of thinking of Krishna and talking about Krishna's pastimes and so on, it has undergone questioning. This process, because maybe sometimes there was not enough loyalty to Srila Prabhupada, maybe, or whatever. So, as a person, my life has started as a translator. My spiritual life has started, I believe, as a translator from the very beginning. Before I went out on Sankirtan, devotees know when in the Sankirtan van, I had my typing writer with me. When they were preparing themselves for Sankirtan and sleeping, I was typing, clink, 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 clink. Someone had to hold the typing writer as we were sitting in the and then I was doing, obviously I was translating and doing Sankirtan. When we all got out of the car, I was also there and distributed Prabhupada's books. And later, we needed books in German, more books in German. Then the devotees requested me to stay back from Sankirtan and just do translation. And after this period of just doing translation, I went back out of the temples, but this time not as a book distributor. We were needing a congregation around the temple to support us and to become Krishna conscious, and I became a congregational preacher. This year in Mayapur, I have been requested by the organization to give a seminar called Preaching is the Essence, and I hope to do a good job. It's very honorable for me to give a seminar in Sridhar Mayapur, where the preaching has started with Mahaprabhu's appearance and then the Namhata program of Nityananda Prabhu. But inside of my heart, I have never forgotten these early hours where I stayed with the books of Srila Prabhupada, and then I'm born by the Krishna book. You know, I so much like the Krishna book. I would sleep almost with it. I would go before, as long as I could possibly keep the attention, I would sit up on my sleeping bag and read the Krishna book. Then when nothing was possible any longer, I put the Krishna book on the shelf and fell asleep. I liked the book so much. In fact, I was allowed to translate it into German language. And I very much like Krishna, Krishna's pastimes and so on. And yes, now I will tell you a little bit from how to think of Krishna. Prabhupada has, as I said, there is this Paribhasita Sutra. Can you please say it correctly? I may not say it correctly. Paribhasha Sutra. Paribhasha Sutra. Prabhupada, in the purport of this, this is a very important purport. It may be one of the most important purports in the Bhagavad Gita. I'm saying one of them. He says everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend to Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. And now Prabhupada says something very important. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna. And now as the Acharya who sets the course of the Krishna conscious movement, he will have to explain how do we think of Krishna. And he answers this question. The very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Sanghita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multiforms, as Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. See, Radha Raman cannot, with this perspective, or Rama with this perspective must mean Radha Raman or Krishna Rama. Huh? Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. And this is very important to understand this purport. Then, Prabhupada continues in his purport. He takes up another verse from Rupa Goswami in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, and he says, in the transcendental realm of Brajadam, one should serve the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna with a feeling similar to that of his associates, and one should place himself under the direct guidance of a particular associate of Krishna, and should follow in his footsteps. This method is applicable both in the stage of sadhana, spiritual practices executed while in the stage of bondage, and in the stage of satya, God realization, when one is a siddha purush or a spiritually perfect soul. So let me summarize these two important verses. It's important to know about Braj, Brajadam, and then one should follow the mood and the methods of the associates of Lord Krishna and not concoct his own personal approach to Lord Krishna based on imaginations. So in this Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas, this is explained. Vrindavan is explained, and the different associates of Lord Krishna who relate to Lord Krishna in a loving mood. And I would like to read to you some of these shlokas so that you can understand a little bit how these verses go. I can guarantee you will enjoy these shlokas very much. Let us hear some music. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, residing in his own realm, Goloka, with Radharani, resembling his own spiritual figure, the embodiment of the ecstatic potency, possessed of the 64 artistic activities, in the company of her confidants, Sakis, embodiments of the extensions of her bodily form, permeated and vitalized by his ever blissful spiritual rasa. So it is described here how in the spiritual world there is Lord Govinda, who is with Radharani and the gopis there, who know the 64 arts of pleasing Lord Krishna. I want to tell you some of the arts which the gopis know. Tilak drawing, they know how to make flower garlands, they know how to compose verses, they know how to sing, they know how to collect fruits and roots. They know palmist trees. They know how to dance. They know also the shastras of logic. They know how to tame deers and lions. Yes. They know how to read omens. They know how to start and keep a fire. And they know how to decorate with flowers. There are 64 arts like this. Then after this verse, a verse is described which tells us the journey to the spiritual world. Golokanam ninijadam nitale chatasya Devi Maheshaharidama sute shute shu Tete prabhava nichaya vihitas jayena Govindamari purushang tamang bhajami Govindamari purushang tamang bhajami. Lowest of all is located Devi Dham. What is Devi Dham? The place where Maya Devi is in control, the material universe. Next above it is Mahesh Dham, the abode of Lord Shiva. That refers to Sada Shiva's place, which is between the material and the spiritual world. Above Mahesh Dham is placed Hari Dham, that is the abode of Hari. Hari here refers to Narayan. And above them all is located Krishna's own realm, named Goloka. Yes. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who has allotted their respective authorities to the rulers of those graded realms. And then, in the last verse of three verses from the Brahma Sanghita, this is actually two verses, an exact description of the spiritual world is given. Shriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpa Taravo Druma Bhumischinta Mani Ganamayi Toyam Amritam Kataganam Natyam Gamanang Apivangsi Priyasaki Chid Anandam Jyoti Param Api Tat Asvatyam Apicha. I worship. We are now taken right into the spiritual world. I worship the transcendental seat known as Svetadvip, whereas loving consorts, the Lakshmis, in their unalloyed spiritual essence, practice the loving service of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna is surrounded by an unlimited amount of Lakshmis or Gopis, where every tree is a transcendental purpose tree, means a wish-fulfilling tree, where the soil is Chintamani, the purpose gem, all water is nectar, every word is a song. What do you think, Daniel? Very good. Every gate is a dance. For instance, what Jean-Philippe just did would have been a dancing festival in this spiritual world. The flute is the favorite attendant. Everywhere you hear the flute. The effulgence is full of transcendental bliss. And the supreme spiritual entities are all enjoyable and tasty. Where numberless milk cows always emit transcendental oceans of milk, where there is eternal existence of transcendental time, whose ever present and without past or future and hence is not subject to the quality of passing away, even for the space of half a moment. That realm is known as Goloka only to a very few self-realized souls in the world. Yes, Prabhupada came with news of this. For instance, here it says, it speaks a lot about the cows and the milk. It's very interesting to note that Krishna in his childhood was known as the butter thief. He went to the devotees and and he stole the milk products, the butter. He would go into the houses take the butter, eat it, and then feed it to the celebrated monkeys of Vrindavan. Once Krishna went and stole butter. This is Jiva Goswami describes this, and he saw in one of the jewel columns his own reflection. So Krishna was thinking, there's someone who has caught me. This boy has seen what I've done. So he immediately said, take some butter, please, and don't tell on me. Now at this moment, the owner of the house, a gopi, elderly gopi, had seen and stepped out and said, I caught you. But Krishna said, no, I didn't do it. He did everything. And he pointed at his mirror reflection, and the gopi was enjoying this very much and laughing. So often the gopis came to Mother Yashoda and said, your boy is always breaking into our houses and stealing the butter. You must know that this was really not the point, Krishna. The gopis had prayed every day, please let Krishna come and steal my butter. I think we can understand this, their feelings, like when you have cooked something for a person you love very much, you want him to eat it. Or like Mother Sachi, when she had cooked a preparation which was very enjoyable for Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was in Puri, she often prayed, this should be eaten by my son. Lord Chaitanya heard it, and invisible, he came and ate the preparations of Mother Sachi. So the gopis similarly wanted Krishna to eat it, and he followed their desire and stole it. But just for the sake of a pastime, they went to Mother Yashoda and complained. The Mother Yashoda took this complaint very serious. She went to the herd of Nanda Maharaj and looked for the best milk-giving cows. Nanda Maharaj had thousands upon thousands of cows, but she went to the cows which were called Padmagandini. Padmagandini means the smell of a lotus. And she handpicked the cows, and because their milk was very fragrant and was very nice. So once, this pastime is told in Krishna book, Damodar pastime, our Rabin has told us this pastime. Once Mother Yashoda cooked this milk of the from the Padmagandini in a pot. That time Krishna called for his mother to breastfeed him. And Mother Yashoda looked into the face of little Gopal with great love and then took him and fed him. At this time, this is Jiva Goswami now, our greatest philosopher. He will explain to us something which imagination could never find out. At this time, the milk in the, although it was such a powerful, good milk in the pot, thought, oh no, Mother Yashoda's love for Krishna is unlimited. And Krishna's appetite to appreciate the love of his devotees is unlimited. I will never be used. I will never feed Lord Krishna. In this way, my whole existence is useless. Because if I can't serve Krishna, for what am I there? And in great desperation, the milk jumped over the rim of the pot and screaming, I will jump into the fire and commit suicide. Went into the fire. Mother Yashoda saw this and was very, very, very disturbed. He was a devotee, the Sri Milk devotee, the Bhakta Milk, you know, was committing suicide. Can any devotee see how, stand there, how when another devotee whose life is meant for Krishna's pleasure commits suicide? No. So he ran and took, put Krishna down. And then Krishna did not like this at all. He wanted to say how he was exclusively for, I think you must make it a little softer, exclusively for the, wanted service from his devotees. So then she jumped up, he jumped up and again took to the profession of stealing butter. He went to the mortar and climbed up the mortar, banged on the pots and broke the pots and ate the milk and so on. So when Mother Yashoda came back after she had saved the suicide milk, when she came back to where Krishna was not there. And then Mother Yashoda became the original of all detectives. She could see on the grass little butter footprints. Krishna had gone. She followed the footprints and came up to Lord Krishna, who had by now distributed the butter to the monkeys and so on. And then, you know, I could now talk, if you would be interested, the whole day and night about these pastimes. They are so relishable because they are so wonderful. And we could go right into Krishna book, remember what Jiva Goswami has said, and so on and so forth. But here we want to learn the system of the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas. The system is, we are now introduced slowly to Goloka Vrindavan. Later, we are leaving, have left the material world. Later, we will hear how different devotees in order of increasing importance got the mercy of the Lord. The author will first describe how the clouds of Vrindavan served Krishna and got the mercy of Krishna. Then he goes to the rivers. Then he describes the trees and creepers. Then the bees. Then the cranes and swans, how they relate to Krishna. The birds, the deer, the cow, the bulls, the aboriginal woman, the gopas, Nanda and Yashoda, and finally the gopis. This is how we are brought slowly, slowly. We learn how different devotees, and you will see how everyone in Vrindavan is only a devotee, serves Lord Krishna in a wonderful way and receives the mercy of Lord Krishna. And by hearing about how Krishna is served in Vrindavan by his loving devotees, you will also develop some love for Krishna. I think when we hear about Sri Milk jumping into the fire because she feels bereft of her service, we begin to think, wow, this is wonderful. I could not have... this is not possible to be speculated by an imaginative speculator. It's the activities of the spiritual world. And we become purified by hearing this and slowly introduced to Krishna consciousness. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked, why one goes to Vrindavan? What would you have answered to this question? Very interesting. Who of you has gone to Vrindavan? So many. Nitya Kishori, no? You have a desire to go? Or, yeah? And Claire has not gone? And Krishna Chandra, no? Your parents are a little poor, or what is the cause? Little poor, yeah. You must find a golden, some gold under a Canadian tree. Yes. No, but you can't, one comes to Vrindavan if one desires to go there. Why go to Vrindavan? Yeah, yeah. In the Vinda, he says this in the Nectar of Devotion, that anyone who goes there will feel attraction to Krishna. What is another reason?
To get that culture to the Vaishnava.
Yeah, to get the culture of the Vaishnava lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Brahm. To meet devotees, mm-hmm, and hear from them.
To visit the places where Krishna performed his pastimes.
Yeah. Yeah, to visit Krishna's pastimes places. Prabhupada, he said that one gets an impetus to go back home, back to Godhead. Mm-hmm. You really, you might have, those of you who were in Vrindavan, Brahm, you were also in Vrindavan?
Yeah.
I cannot believe it. You are so young in Krishna consciousness. Some great mercy came over you.
Sorry.
Yes. Yes, when you go to Vrindavan, you just feel like, wow, Krishna. And then you see the pastimes place and you think, it's a reality. Yes, this is a Govardhan hill which he lifted. I have only heard about it. Now I see it with my eyes. Rupa Goswami describes this, what Prabhupada has so nice, so, wie sagt man, treffend, so precisely discussed as a special atmosphere. He says there are two energies in Vrindavan which work. One is Taraka, I think we spoke about it earlier, and the other is Paraka. Liberating and attracting potency of the Lord. So you can feel this almost as sure as you can feel the water when you go underwater. Whoop! Oh yes, I'm becoming wet. Oops. Yes. So, Vrindavan is important for us and remains important. So, this is all the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas tell us about it. And then, they make the point Vrindavan and then follow devotees. Really two points. There's a verse which I would like to read to you. I think I've quoted it in one of the lectures. Every learned man knows that the attachment to material objects is the greatest entanglement of the soul. And this attachment can be transferred on the self-realized sadhu, and then it becomes the source of liberating. So we hear about devotees and we become attached to them. How wonderful they do things. And how wonderful they relate to Krishna. And as a result, we know what examples we can follow. So I would like to read to you now one Bhakti Rasayana Shloka and with the commentary of Sanatana Goswami as an example of this. But I'm thinking before I do this, we make just a little 10-15 minutes pause. In our movement, we have, thanks to the Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education, I think you all know this this educational institution within our movement, we have decided to offer to the devotees a retreat. Each year after the month of Kartik, devotees meet at the sacred site of the hill Giriraj, and for 1 week they go deeper within their Krishna consciousness. This year, Bhujan Prabhu offered a course on prayer for reading, where he mostly introduced to us a method by which we could access realization in Srila Prabhupada's books. I'm planning to tell you a little summary of this method tomorrow and make a few exercises with you. Not tomorrow, the day after tomorrow. We will actually have a few books of Srila Prabhupada, a variety of books here, and then you will pick a book and I will teach you how to do prayer for reading. Hare Krishna. Today, also during this course, during this time, I was invited to give a particular seminar on deepening our Krishna consciousness. I was talking about the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas. Today I want to also talk on the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas. I must warn all of you, it will be about the personal aspects of Lord Krishna. After all, we are Krishna conscious movement, so we will deal with this. Before I talk about this, I want to give you a little understanding. What is a Rasayana? In the Vaishnava scriptures, there are books which are called Rasayanas. Rasayana is an Ayurvedic tonic which helps a person who is in the process of becoming better to gain strength. Rasayanas are given usually when the disease has been eliminated, but the patient is still weak. Rasayanas in spiritual life are also like this. It is assumed that all of your diseases are gone because you practice Krishna consciousness and you don't have the attachments to the gross material life any longer. But at the same time, we are a little weak. That means we are not free from all anattas, like fault finding and so on. So we need now a rasayana, just like an Ayurvedic patient who has been cured from cancer, or what is another bad disease, typhoid fever, maybe, needs a rasayana to become healthy and to become rejuvenated. If you look at me at this moment, I'm full of Ayurvedic rasayanas. Because I underwent an Ayurvedic cure, having been very, very ill before I started this cure. So, the particular Bhakti Rasayana, which has become famous in our line as the Bhakti Rasayana, appears at the end of a work called Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I have asked you today if you know the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and you were answering, not yet. You have not yet read it. So let me give you a summary on Brihad Bhagavatamrita. First of all, let me tell you, Prabhupada wrote two times in Chaitanya Charitamrita, a devotee who wants to know about devotees, devotional service, and something else, Krishna, must read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Jayadvaita Maharaj has already conducted a seminar on this, and the book is now available for purchase in the BBT. With this, the BBT has followed Srila Prabhupada's request to publish a book which was very essential for our Krishna consciousness, because we need to know about devotees, devotional service, and Krishna. So it is a little difficult to summarize the whole Bhakti Rasayana, but so whole Brihad Bhagavatamrita. But I will tell you so much that after Sukadev had finished to tell the Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit, he got up and left. Then Parikshit Maharaj wanted to prepare himself for his passage. But just at that time, his mother Uttara, who was a great devotee, came to him and asked him, what were the subjects? What did Sukadev Goswami tell you, please? She was such a nectar hunter. She was so interested in Krishna that even at such a moment where usually one wants to be left alone to prepare himself for death, she intruded the privacy of her son and asked, please give me some of the nectar. So Parikshit Maharaj at that time narrated to his mother a story which summarizes the principles of the Bhagavatam. It's the story where Narada Muni wants to search out who of the devotee has gotten the maximum amount of mercy from Krishna. And the second part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita describes to you the journey of the soul back home, back to Godhead. This is what the Bhagavatam philosophy is about. It is about Krishna, his devotees, and ultimately Prayojana Tattva, going back home, back to Godhead. So he told this in the form of a story, the story of Gop Kumar, who goes through different stations in the universe and beyond, also the spiritual world, until he finally enters Goloka Dham. In our society, you all have seen paintings where Krishna is depicted embracing a person who looks like a cowherd boy. That is Gop Kumar, the hero of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, who has finally returned back home, back to Godhead. It's very, very moving to hear how Gop Kumar meets Krishna for the after this long journey. It is described that he's in the village of Vrindavan, and all of a sudden he finds out how all the people go towards the exit of Vrindavan. He goes out and follows along with them, and he sees the river Yamuna turning around, stopping, and floating upstairs, the other direction, and he thinks now this, what is going on here? Then he sees in the distance a big cloud of dust and devatas coming from the coming from up and touching the dust on their head. And then he hears a concert of flute music, which is so fascinating. Then he sees how from the group of, from out of this dust cloud, moving dust cloud, Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys come dancing jubilantly. And this is too much for Gop Kumar to perceive. He begins to run towards Krishna. I mean, so many lifetimes he has not seen Krishna. He runs and runs, calls Krishna. Krishna sees him. He running towards him. He also runs towards him. And midway, Krishna takes him in his arm and embraces him. Up till this moment, the picture is correct, which you have seen in our temples. But listen what happened after, during the embrace. Krishna, being overwhelmed by the love of his devotees, loses consciousness. He asks repeatedly, "Where have you been? Where have you been?" And then falls down on the ground. At this moment, the cowherd boys from one side and the gopis who have come from the village from the other side look at Krishna and they begin to suspect Gop Kumar as a terrible demon who has killed their friend Gopal. After all, he has fallen down. But only Balaram knows the situation. And he instructs Gop Kumar to kneel down and to dust the dust away from Krishna's body and lovingly call in his ear, "Krishna, Krishna." Then Gopal wakes up from his swoon. The earth is muddy around him. Why? Tears. Yes, he has cried. He has cried. And he gets up and is a little shy because he has been, whenever you display emotions in public, you are usually a little shy afterwards when you cry. So Krishna is a little shy and he looks around. Then he happily takes the hand of Gop Kumar and goes with him into the village of Vrindavan. And he doesn't let loose the hand of Gop Kumar until they finally sit down and eat prasadam. Hare Krishna. He doesn't let him go. He keeps him. This is how the narration ends. So after, then some pastimes are explained, which Gop Kumar witnesses in Vrindavan. So then after he has said this, Parikshit Maharaj has told this, Uttara is very moved and said, but also said that now the nectar flow is going to stop. Her son is going to die and is not going to tell anything any longer. Isn't it? When there was a very good class, which was not boring, but interesting. We don't want it to end so soon, so we ask the class giver a question, even if we really don't have a question, but we want the nectar to go on. So Uttara asks, after hearing the Briha Bhagavatamrita, can you not give a summary of the whole Bhagavatam in a few verses, please? Already he has given one narration, but she wants another. It's a real nectar-searching mother. Maybe like your mother, Krishna Chandra? She's someone like that. Krishna Chandra's mother is a devotee who still practices Krishna consciousness. Very good. So then Parikshit Maharaj begins to explain for all generations to come, a few wonderful, it's about 40, or it's above 40, 40 plus, 59, uh-huh. It's about, let me say, 64 verses. He explained 64 verses, if I'm correct, something like this, which give you a very, very interesting meditation about Krishna and his pastimes. These form the Bhakti Rasayana shlokas, which are to be read by Vaishnavas who want to enter Krishna conscious understandings. It's a gradual procession. It takes you there. Yadunandan Prabhu.
I wanted to ask, are these shlokas included in the publication?
Yes. They are, what I will tell you is only from the BBT publication book. Because that belongs to the work Brihad Bhagavatamrita, comes at the end of the whole work. They can be found there. You're wanting to know where can I find this and apply it. They can be found there, or if I may make a little advertisement again, they are Hare Krishna. They are also we have printed them at in this book, the Nectarian Ocean of the Holy Name. Let me now read to you how these verses can be applied or utilized. These verses were used by the previous acharyas as a special method of bhajan. They combined their japa, the chanting on the beads, with reading these bhakti rasayana shlokas. While meditating on them and simultaneously continuing to chant the holy name, their minds and hearts would be completely immersed in the nectarian ocean of love for Krishna. This was a method for them to enter with their japa braj bhakti. I will not stress so much this method because I think it is very important first to become familiar with the concepts. This requires training, and not all of us might feel it is the time to do this in their spiritual lives. And I also think the way the Bhakti, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita gives these verses is just as a means to absorb your mind. It's a guided meditation which brings you to understand Vrindavan and the devotees in Vrindavan who relate to Lord Krishna. So let me first talk a little bit about something else. The whole point of Krishna, what is the whole point of Krishna consciousness? I want to ask you this question. There are certainly different answers to this question, and not one answer is right. What would you say if I would ask you, what is the whole point of Krishna consciousness, Jai Govinda? Is it to attain love of Krishna, to attain Krishna prema? Anyone else has an answer? To remember Krishna and not forget him. You bring us happy news in the day. To remember Krishna and not forget. One devotee once told me, I know one thing in my life. When I think of Krishna, I'm happy. When I'm not thinking of Krishna, I'm unhappy. This is what I know. So, any other point? Yadunandan. I must say, the highlight of my Bhaktivedanta college visit is to see Yadunandan Prabhu before me. I'm so attracted by your wonderful devotee personality. It's amazing. I'm considering to become your student. Yeah, honestly. Isn't it? You're so lucky to have someone who has a heart of gold. Yeah. Yadunandan Prabhu, please tell us what do you think is the whole point of Krishna consciousness?
That verse which came to him is to love Krishna, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
You ask the question for the first answer.
Love Krishna, yes. I have asked this question many devotees and have heard many quotes of Srila Prabhupada. And my answer now, after going through this, is to absorb the mind in Krishna. I'm taking this point of absorption from a verse which is very known to you, which Brinda Devi has quoted for us. I want to read this verse to you so that it's such an important verse, and I think every one of you should learn it. Smatavya satatam Vishnu. Smatavya satatam Vishnu. Vismatavyo na jatu chit.
Vismatavyo na jatu chit.
Sarve vidhi nishedasyu. Etayo eva kinkaraha. Vishnu or Krishna should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be servants to these two principles. This is really, this verse appears in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which we have read in Srila Prabhupada's summary, The Nectar of Devotion. After all the rules and regulations have been given, you know, the is it 64 activities of Vaidhi Bhakti, which we are supposed to do. 5 of them are done also in spontaneous devotional service. There, the summary, this shloka is offered, so that we know that with all the rules and regulations, this is our goal. Like you have here the aims of Shastric study before you, your knowledge you want to have memorized, or what is it, what does it say?
Memory and recall.
Memory and recall. Second is understanding. And third is personal application. These are the three most important aims which you have in this college. You want to have understand. Now you want to have knowledge, but you want to also understand it. It should not be dry. And you want to personally apply it in your lives. So when you study, you will always have this in mind. You want realized knowledge or understood knowledge, and you want to also use it in life. You don't want to just be dry academics who leave this, when they leave the classroom, their behavior is impossible. It has nothing to do. You want it to change your life, actually. And you want transformation. So this is very good to have this in black and green and red and blue before you. This is the idea. Who has written this? Vrinda Devi. Wow. It looks different than your handwriting, Vrinda Devi. What is it? Only the A in authority looks the same. So yeah. Just like we need such a mission statement to keep focused. Also this verse focuses us. We want to remember Krishna and not forget him. This is all that we want. We want to be, in other words, absorbed in Krishna or Krishna conscious. The Nectar of Instruction, text number 8, this is reiterated. I think you all know the Nectar of Instruction is a work by Rupa Goswami, which he wrote after a very, very interesting meeting. He had been in Puri when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was about to leave the planet. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had gathered at the sand of the banks of the ocean, and he had summarized his instructions. He was looking at the ocean, and what did happen with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he looked at the ocean? Did he think it is an ocean, or did he think it was something else? He remembered the river Jamuna in Vrindavan because he's Krishna. And when he saw the trees on the bank of the ocean, he remembered the forest of Vrindavan. We even know when he saw the sand dunes, he remembered the Govardhan Hill. This information we can get from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was so absorbed in Vrindavan that he saw Vrindavan everywhere. Like maybe a bhakta who is so absorbed in prasadam that he sees everywhere the meals and so on. No, he was, whatever you are absorbed in, you see that everywhere. Think it is everywhere. This is what you know as an lecturer within ISKCON. When your audience falls asleep, you just say anything regarding prasadam, and there, what? They are wide away, because that's where the absorption lies. That is where they are most comfortable in. It's very easy to get an ISKCON audience on your side. You just talk about prasadam. So Rupa Goswami was there when Mahaprabhu spoke the essence of all his teachings, and he wrote down from this the Nectar of Instruction. This information can be found in the diary of Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was also there, noted this down. So here, in text 8, he gives the essence of all advice. This verse is very nice and should capture our fascination. I will chant it for you in Sanskrit. Is it all right, or should I? It's nice to hear. Tannama rupa charitadi sukirtananu smrityo kramena rasana manasi niyoja tishtan brajetat anuragi jananugami kalam nayet akilam it upadesha saram. Saram means essence, and upadesh means instruction. The essence of all advice is that one should eat a lot of prasadam. Sorry, I spaced out. The essence of all advice is that one should really learn the philosophy. The essence of all advice is that one should know, understand, and apply. The essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, his transcendental form, his qualities, and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Braj, Goloka Vrindavan, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees, who are deeply attached to his devotional service. In his purport, Prabhupada speaks about the mind and makes one very important point that whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. So this follows. If you want to reach Krishna, you must have Krishna consciousness in your mind at the time of death. And he says, at the time of death, the mind and intelligence of a living entity create the subtle form of a certain type of body for the next life. If the mind suddenly thinks of something not very congenial, one has to take a corresponding birth in the next life. On the other hand, if one can think of Krishna at the time of death, he can be transferred to the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. This process of transmigration is very subtle. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami advises devotees to train their minds in order that they will be unable to remember anything other than Krishna. Please be happy, Vrindadevi. This is very happy news. Similarly, the tongue should be trained to speak only of Krishna and to taste only Krishna prasad. Yes, it's good. Prasad is good. So, this Krishna consciousness should be developed slowly. The word krama is very important. Krama means step by step. First, the devotee engages his senses in a regulated way. That is, for this we have this program of rules. Of 64 items of devotional service. And then, as the devotee is engaged with his senses, slowly his mind, the king of the senses, begins to become spiritualized and think of Krishna and not forget him. Now, how do you think of Krishna? I remember in Hyderabad a very, very interesting situation. Prabhupada gave a lecture. I will never forget this. It was the lesson for my life. And in the end, called for questions. There were many questions. First, the microphone was handed to the people in the audience who asked the question, but there were so many that Prabhupada asked for a different method. He asked his audience to note down the questions on a piece of paper. It was brought forward and it was read to Prabhupada and he would answer the question. If you make a preaching program in India, I advise you to do it like this. You get very serious questions. But then all of a sudden, a man took the microphone. And he started to say, it was going over everything, over the whole amplification system. He was not so much really invited, but he wanted to say something. It was the vachovega, the urge to speak, which was very strong. And he said, my grandmother also saw Krishna. My grandmother. Krishna came to her in a cloud, and then she would breastfeed him. And although she was old, a lot of milk was coming in. I remember I was going like, this is what I Now I get to hear it. Sahajiyaism. And we all the Swamis were getting really like, oh, you know, how is this? This is not very good. Prabhupada was getting more and more upset. How can Krishna come to an ordinary human being and do this, you know, to drink the milk of an old woman and in a cloud? It just looked, everything was so spooky about it. And then Prabhupada answered. He said, the Goswamis of Vrindavan never said they had seen Krishna. They always said, where are you? Where are you, Krishna? And he quoted the verse, Radha Kut, He Radhe Vrajadevike Chalalite He Nanda Suno Kuta Govardhan. Are you at the Govardhan Hill? Are you there? Are you here? And so on and so forth. He said this. And the point which Prabhupada made is we should follow devotees when we want to go to Krishna. We should follow, not speculate. Now, this principle, which is true on two levels. It's true when we follow the path of regulated devotional service, and it is also true when we follow the path of spontaneous devotional service. Prabhupada, he said here, a devotee should always reside in the transcendental realm of Braj. Now this is, now you will hear now the verses which explain to you how to remember Krishna. A devotee should always reside in the transcendental realm of Braj and always engage in Krishna's manam janam chasya preshtam, the remembrance of Sri Krishna and his beloved associates. Not Krishna alone, but his associates, so that you follow in the right mood and don't develop strange theories. By following in the footsteps of such associates and by entering under their eternal guidance, one can acquire an intense desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is explained also that if we cannot reside in Vrindavan, which for us is not, which is our case, we should mentally be in Vrindavan. That means in Vrindavan, as you will soon understand, a very certain style of Krishna religion or Krishna bhakti is displayed, which you cannot find in other places. It's unique to see Krishna as a son, to see Krishna as a friend, and to play with him, and to see Krishna as the beloved of the gopis. This mood or understanding of God can be only found in Vrindavan. Prabhupada wants to bring us to this type of Krishna, not to Narayan, the Lord of Vaikuntha, but to this Vrindavan understanding of Krishna. I want to read to you a very important commentary of Prabhupada, which we will now get by the help of Vrinda Devi, please give me the Bhagavad Gita, and 1865, bitte. Do you know what is the Paribhasa Sutra of the Bhagavad Gita? That means the important key verse of the Gita. Yes. What does the verse say, Ajay Govinda? Yes, Jai Govinda Prabhu has given the right answer. This is a verse which is repeated two times in the Bhagavad Gita. In the middle, at 9:35, it's right in the middle, and then at 1864, it is giving you the, it opens the Gita for you, because it tells you what it is all about. And here it is, it for us who have been sitting in this presentation, it's not a surprise. It goes like this: always think of me. Krishna is now also saying what is the goal of Krishna consciousness. Become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Krishna is also speaking here that how we can come to him and be with him. Four things are necessary. Who remembers? We must think of him. Yes, Nitya Kishori, you had become his devotee, worship him, and offer your obeisances to Krishna. Now I want to ask you a question. How do you think of Krishna? It's a very important question. When I tell you, think of Krishna, Yadunanda, or Grace, no, your name is not Grace, Claire. It's a very interesting question. How do you think of Krishna? How do you follow this instruction? To think of Krishna. Every one of you, please think a moment of Krishna. Yes. We make an exercise. Please make the music on. It's, do you all have writing paper? I want to do to bring you to an exercise of free writing. Do you know what is free writing? Not yet. We are already free writing when this music starts. I need a piece of paper also. I will also do it. Free writing means... let me see. Oh, I had the most beautiful pen here. Free writing means... Danke. Thank you very much. You write and you do not stop. There's only one rule. You cannot stop. Even if it's unrelated, like you say, let us say, I request you, please free write on the subject of the weather. You start, it's raining, it's not always so encouraging, and then you run out of thoughts. Then you can even jump. In India, the weather is most probably like this, you know, and while you free write, this was a jump, what you will do, you will access what is deeply within you, and because otherwise why did you think of India if it was not there? So free writing, we will now do a free writing exercise. We will say, we will imagine the following scenario. You are meeting a devotee of Krishna. He looks very sympathetic, like Yadunandan, a person where you know you can talk. Please don't feel uncomfortable. You feel very comfortable with. You just know I can say anything to him. He's a good, has a good character, and he wants to know now how you think of Krishna. So we have someone has a wristwatch, not a time. Our Daniel, yes, thank you very much for your wristwatch. We will have 5 minutes for this exercise. I request you now to write what you would explain to a devotee like Yadunandan. You can talk about everything. And we will hear some music, which will... Which way do I hope that this very modern wristwatch here? 17:09, 17:14. Okay. Let us start. Don't stop. This is really the only thing you have to do. Don't stop. How do you think of Krishna? Little softer. Continue to write. Keep the hand moving. Whatever comes, you don't have to read it if you don't want to the others.